We're going to be speaking about evangelism, the mission, and I think we've learned. Yes, I've got two recorders here. Okay. I think we've, I don't know about you, but I've certainly learned a lot over the last couple of weeks. And something that's very clear from the scriptures is that God has a heart for people. Okay. He wants to reach people at all costs. And we see it in passages like Luke 15, the lost son, the lost coin, the lost sheep. Throughout the Bible, we see God's heart beating for people, wanting people to be reconciled to Him. Now, I remember first learning this message many years ago as someone reached out to me back then. Many of you know the story. Lisa invited me to church. I started coming out to Bible talk, actually, first, to a Bible discussion group. Some guys started studying the Bible with me. And I learned the message that God wanted everyone to actually be involved in this rescue plan. Of His people, that He wanted everybody that called themselves Christians or followers or His disciples to be fishers of men. And I remember originally, as I saw that message and realized, one for one, is that I'm certainly not living it, two, realizing that I don't know at that time anybody that was living it, meaning my friends didn't live that way. They weren't fishers of men. They weren't, they didn't consider God as the nucleus of their life around which they built everything else. And so, like a madman, I started reaching out to my friends. And I brought many of my friends to church. I started studying the Bible with many of them. Only a couple of them made it. In other words, made the decision to make Jesus Lord back then. Many of them faded. But as they faded away, it was only about 2 or 3 months. And in my first 2 or 3 months of being a Christian, I've basically invited everybody that I knew. Or try to reach out in some way or another to everybody that I knew. Meaning by that time, I've invited everyone that went, I was 19, I went to school with me. I invited everyone that was in the Navy with me that I still had contact with. I invited all relatives, try to reach out to them. Ex-girlfriend, everything is just trying to get everyone to the Word. Now, after I invited everyone, sort of the next step for me was, now basically, that was not done. Now, the only way that I could still reach people, and I wanted to, was to just meet people randomly. Meaning, there's different names for it. Some people call it cold contact evangelism. Some people, sounds harsh, cold contact evangelism, or blitzing, or what have you. But basically, that is just randomly meeting people. So as a campus student, as I would be traveling to campus every day on the train, every day on the train, I would meet someone. And I'd sit next to someone, strike up a conversation with them, and invite them out of church at a Bible talk or for Bible study, what have you. Or you maybe go in a mall, you meet some people, and just, hey, randomly, hey, how's it, man? I'm busy inviting people to church. On campus, we do that, what have you. Now, let me just ask a quick survey here. How many of us came to church or Bible talk or started studying the Bible the first time because you met someone that you didn't know from a bar of soap that invited you to church? Let me just see with a show of hands. Okay? That's about half of us. Okay, so about half of us, you were somewhere either in a mall or in a queue standing somewhere, and lo and behold, someone stood next to you and said, hey, man, how are you doing? Invited you to church, invited you to Bible talk, what have you. And I think, as we can see, and how many people become Christians through that, God certainly works that way. The tendency is that people that you meet that way are in some way or how seeking God. There is a need for them to see God in some way or another. In other words, my wife, for instance, she was one of those. She was met on campus. And 2 weeks prior to her being met on campus, she prayed, God, please send someone on my way to help me. Okay? And 2 weeks later, someone met her in the ladies' room places on campus and said, hey, listen, would you be interested in coming out to a Bible discussion? She did, and she became a Christian. Now, here's an interesting thing is some time ago, a survey was done through our churches, not in our fellowship, but just churches worldwide, in terms of why people come to church. And here's what the survey found. Okay, 2% of people said, I had a special need. Okay, I had a special need, and because I had that special need, I decided to go to church to see if that need could be met. 3% of people said, I just walked in. In other words, they walked past the building, they realized the church was there, and so they just walked in. 6%, not a high number, said, I like the minister. Now, for some of you that maybe thought, man, if we could just get a different minister, things would really go better. The stats says differently. Okay. 6% say, I like the minister, so I went over there and I hanged out. 5% said, I like the Bible classes that they offered. Okay, so sort of like a Bible school or where the Bible was taught in a different kind of sort of Sunday school setting, if you may. 5% I went because of that. 0.5% attended a revival meeting. In other words, some souped up, psyched up meeting, and they said, man, revival is going to happen here, and so they attended that. 3% said, we like the programs. In other words, we are doing a resilient life. I love resilient life, or the mission, or whatever. You came for the programs. Listen to this one. A friend or a relative invited me. 79%. 79% of people who came to church said, the reason I came to church was because a friend, not stranger, a friend or a relative invited me. Let's just see in our fellowship, how many of you came to church the first time because a friend or a relative invited you? Okay, look at that, eh? I should thought it would be less. It's more than the other. Now, the fascinating thing is for them, it says 79% did that. Now, here's a question that I had to ask myself, and I've been asking myself now for some time and thinking about it. How many non-Christian friends do you have? Who of us has more than 5 non-Christian friends that we spend time with on a regular basis? Okay? About, what would that be? Quarter to a fifth? Okay? Now, what I realize is that basically all my friends are right in here. Now, there's a good part to that. The Bible does say bad company corrupts good character, and you need to be careful that you don't surround yourself with people that will lure you into other things. There's a negative part to that, and the negative part to that is that 79% of people said that a friend invited me. So if I don't have friends that are, if I'm not friends with non-Christians, then I'm not going to be a part of the 79%. So for me on a personal level, now I've actually increased that now over the last couple of months, worked on that. but then that's a little bit harder. And so tonight what we're going to be speaking about is relational evangelism. In other words, one is I'm a firm believer, personally, I'm a firm believer of today, Jock and I were in a shop somewhere, Jock and myself, looking at some equipment, and I reached out to the salesman and invited him to church. He made big promises that he would come. We'll see on Sunday. Okay? But I'm a firm believer of, I don't know you from a bar of soap, and I can reach out to you, and God can work in your heart, and you can make it. Half of the group here tonight is evidence of that. And I think we are, when we do it, we are fairly good with it. We are schooled in it. Some of us may become a little bit lazy in it, but we actually know how to do it, right? We know how to just say, hey, I'd love to invite you to church. Tonight, what I want to talk about is another tool in the toolbox, and that's relational evangelism. In other words, inviting a friend to church. Now, if you may be in my boat, then maybe you don't have that many non-Christian friends. So the question is, how do we do it? If someone that I don't know from a bar of soap, how am I going to help them to become my friend and then start planting seed in their life? Now, this is going to be 2 steps. Number one is that I need to be able to build bridges. In other words, I need to build a bridge from where we are right now to the person actually becoming a friend. Because at this stage, I don't have that many non-Christian friends. So number one is figure out how can I build a bridge, phase one, building a bridge from where we are right now, this person is a total stranger to me, to them becoming a friend. Okay. Number two then is planting seeds. So first step, phase one, I need to help the person that I don't know at all become a friend. When they become a friend, phase two is then I need to start planting seed in the person's life. Okay, so how do we do that? Let's start with phase bridges. In other words, building meaningful relationships. How do you build meaningful relationships? Now, you need to start at the very beginning, and that is initial contact. Okay? What do I mean by initial contact? You need to choose to be where people are. Meaning people are not in your home. Okay? The people on the TV, you can't talk to them. So, well, number one, you're in phase one, in building bridges, I need to have initial contact. I need to be where the people are. In other words, as Christians, we need to be outside a lot. Where is outside? Outside is wherever the people are. Outside is I'm at the coffee shop. And what I often do is I have appointments in, Donnie, Nell and myself, I don't know how many coffees we had so far. And John Muir is another one of my mug and beaners. But we meet in Mug and Bean. That's where the people are. At the gym, that's where the people are. For the sisters, clothing shops, that's where the people are. Okay? 2/3 of our nation are there. They, you know that thing where they come to see the big five. Okay? Canal Walk, Tiger Valley, Cavendish, Waterfront, what have you. So that's where the people are. So first thing is I need to make sure that I am, to build initial contact, I put that word in there specifically, I choose to be where the people are. So in other words, I'm not there by accident, I'm there by choice. So I actually decide, instead of having this appointment at my house, I'm actually going to have it in the coffee shop to be able to meet people. Second one is you need to be friendly and willing to talk. Here I'm talking about heart and spirit. I mean, if I'm where the people are, I'm in Mug and Bean, I need to make sure that I arrive there friendly and willing to talk. It doesn't help that I am at Mug and Bean where the people are and I'm in my cocoon. Okay? So the cocoon ain't going to help. I need to make sure I'm there, but I'm friendly, I got a smile, and I'm willing. I'm willing to talk. Okay? Then, not only do I need to be friendly and willing to talk, I need to be mission-minded. What do I mean by that? I think in one of the classes I shared about the idea that sometimes if you're interested in buying a car, you suddenly see that car everywhere. You think, I want to buy a City Golf. And then the next day you look and everyone's driving a City Golf. Just seems that way. Wherever you look, City Golf, City Golf, City Golf. And that to you then is a sign that God wants you to have a City Golf. Now, it's almost that your mind is tuned into seeing a City Golf. Now, in the same way, when you're mission-minded, your mind is tuned into seeing opportunity. In other words, when you're mission-minded, wherever you look, you see opportunity. So I'm in a Mug and Bean. I should have pulled the chair up. Okay? I'm in a Mug and Bean. Picture me. I'm on my chair with my... I'm out of my cocoon. Okay? Mission-minded. Meaning I'm looking. I'm seeing everything as opportunity. The waiter is opportunity. The person sitting across me is an opportunity. Okay, so now when I'm mission-minded, you need to take the initiative to meet people and make friends. Take the initiative to meet people and make friends. I was having coffee with Donnie Nell the other day at Mug and Bean, and it was funny. We had an appointment at 8:30 in the morning. Both of us were there at 8, but sitting on separate sides. So we didn't know it till when he called me at 8:40. But while I was waiting for him, there was a dude sitting across me, and he sat down, he took out his phone that was like almost like an iPhone, so he had earpiece plugged into listening to music, and it was a similar phone to what I had, okay? So I chose to be where the people are, was friendly and ready to talk, I was mission-minded, and so I took the initiative, I tapped him on the shoulder, asked him to take the earphones out, and I asked him about his phone. I said, hey dude, where do you get applications for that phone? Oh man, a dude obviously loves his phone, because he then started talking about the applications that you can get for the phone. And I mean, this was at 8:25, we talked till 8:40 when Donnie called, just sitting next door. But so you need to take the initiative. You actually need to take that step and say, let me see how can I make contact here. Then when you make contact, find common ground. For me, that common ground was the phone. Now, the sisters might not understand that. Some brothers might not. The high-tech brothers will. Okay? That is very simple. Sisters, I think you guys have got it really easy because, oh, I like your shoes.
Somebody likes my shoes.
I mean, I like your earrings, I like your makeup, but see, you can say anything. Okay, if a dude says to me, I like your shoes, I'm concerned. Okay, now, so you find common ground. You talk, okay? Try and leave the person with a favorable impression. Let me define something. Weird is not favorable. Okay, weird is not favorable. Now, I've been weird many times, and I know some of you, you've been weird too. Okay? Weird is not favorable. Leave the person with a favorable impression. What do I mean by that? Let's talk about my HTC friend. His name's Calvin. I asked Mike Calvin, so what do you do for a living? He starts talking about what he does for a living. I guess he's about 26 years old, would be my guess. This dude has built his business throughout Africa. Okay? I thought, man, dude, that's amazing. And I told him that. I said, wow, you're so young, and you've been so dynamic in building this business. I must say, Calvin, that is very impressive. Is that true? Yes, I think it is impressive. But how do you think Calvin feels when he hears someone saying, you're impressive? He says, I need to be more with this dude. Okay, because this dude thinks I'm impressive. My girlfriend doesn't think so. Okay, mom and dad doesn't think so. This guy, he thinks I'm impressive. So it is leaving them with a favorable impression. It was nice meeting you. Okay? Get their contact details. Okay, now listen carefully to what I'm saying. We're just building bridges. We're not inviting anyone at this stage out to anything. Getting contact details. So I don't know how we got on, but he said, where do you get a pouch for this phone? I said, hey, dude, I've got a website where you can find a pouch for this. Give me your email address, and I will email it to you. So now I'm getting a contact so that I can actually futuristically talk to the dude. Have some form of contact as to how can we stay in touch. So that's just initial contact. Now we have met someone. What do you do after that? Become better acquainted. Through the years, what I've sort of learned is that try and connect or contact someone again after you've met them within 48 hours. That doesn't mean you call them and tell them the story of your life. That could be sending them a SMS message saying, it was nice meeting you today. Again, was really impressed with the business that you built, or you were incredibly kind to your wife, or whatever it is that you saw positive in them. But you're making some form of acquaintance because you're becoming better acquainted. Okay? Next is get to know the person better. In other words, get them over to your home. Get over to their home. I find common ground. For parents, this is fairly simple. Children are common ground. David and I were involved in a Bible study last night, and driving there, we spoke about this and how he's trying to reach out to neighbors and how easy it is to connect with your children. Just say, hey, we must get together so the kids can play. It's common ground. If the person cycles, let's cycle together. If they watch sport, let's watch sport together. Whatever it is, you'll find that with most people, you actually have a natural common ground if you just dig deep enough. And ask questions, you'll find that they most probably are interested in something or like something that you yourself like as well. I think we all know the text in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I've become all things to all men, so that by all possible means, I might save some. I do all of this for the sake of the gospel that I must share and its blessing. What was Paul trying to do? Find common ground. And if it's not common, then he created it. Meaning to the weak, I became weak. Even if I wasn't weak, I become weak because I want to connect with them in some way or another. So we're becoming better acquainted. We've stayed in touch within 48 hours. I'm getting to know the person better. Now start including them in your life. This doesn't have to be something super special that you do. This is going to the movies, inviting them along. Just include them in what you do. You're going out for a picnic, invite them along to the picnic. You're going to watch a rugby game, a soccer game. I'm not exactly sure, again, what the sisters do with these things. But, again, just invite them along. Include them. Be inclusive in their life, or them having them included in your life. Whoops. I think I pressed the wrong button there. There we go. Be patient. Don't force the relationship. Okay, I've made that mistake a number of times. I don't know you from a bar of soap. I met you 2 days ago, but in 2 days' time, I'm going to be your best friend. Okay? Be patient. Don't force the relationship. Let your light shine early in the relationship. In other words, don't hide your Christianity. Don't be weird about your Christianity, but also don't hide your Christianity. Do you guys get what I'm saying? So clear, hey, I'm a Christian. I go to church. It's what I do. Don't be weird about it, but don't hide it either. Try and have, this is something I learned recently, short, frequent, and consistent contact. Short, frequent, and consistent contact. As again, I don't have to be your best friend forever. I mean, here's a proverb. Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you and he will hate you. Okay? So short, frequent, and consistent contact. I mean, I'm not camping out all day. You ever had someone like that at your house? Dries says yes. Who was it? Okay? But it's sort of, can the people please go? You don't, it's honey, let's go to bed. The people want to go. Okay? It's not, that doesn't work. Okay? So short, frequent, and consistent. Sending them a text message. They send you one back. You send them one back. They send you one back. But it is short contact. It's a phone call. It's a hi. It's a how are you. It is short. It is frequent. But it's consistent. It's not every 6 months. It's consistent contact. Be interested in them. Okay? Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only at your own interests, but also at the interests of others. Okay? Don't think of yourself. Think of them. Be interested in them. Who is the number one person in our life? Ourselves. Who do we love above everything? Ourselves. And so, what is the most fun thing to talk about? Ourselves. Or whatever it is that we are interested in. And so when you start paying interest in people, you are getting better acquainted. Listen to the other person's desires, their fears, their aim, their goals, their burdens. Listen well. Be interested in them. When you're interested in people, you become better acquainted. As I've said before, be complimentary, okay? It's got to be sincere and honest. We all can see a salesman coming, okay? But be complimentary. We see Paul doing this with King Agrippa. In Acts 26, he says, King Agrippa, when he was had to face him, said, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. He says, he's standing before me, he says, listen, you know, I consider this a privilege to be able to stand before you. He's paying him a compliment. Okay? It helps to become acquainted with people by being complimentary. So number one, building a bridge is taking initial contact. Number two, you're becoming better acquainted. Number three then is serve them. Okay? Many passages in the Bible about this. Matthew 20, 25, Jesus called together. Said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great amongst you must be your slave, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. The Bible obviously talks about that the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And as his followers, we are here to serve. Look at this passage, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. Instead, we are like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. because we loved you so much, we delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our very lives as well. Okay? Our calling is not merely just to put in time with non-Christians, but to share with them our very lives as well. And what greater opportunity do we have than being able to serve them? What we need to do is look for and pray for opportunities to serve people. Meeting special needs. In other words, here I am. Remember the initial contact? I'm in Mug and Bean. I meet the person. I'm connected with them. Two, we stay in touch. We become better acquainted. Number three, I'm praying, God, help me to find out, to figure out a way that I can serve them. Make a need clear. We had a family at the school that moved house recently. And the kids go to school with our kids. And Lisa said to the mom, hey, while you guys move house, why don't the kids come over here and it will enable you guys to actually do something? So the kids come over to play the whole day. It's a small act of service, but it is serving them. I'm praying, God, please give me opportunity. How can I serve them? And what way can I be of service to them? Why is this so important? This is so important because no one else will do it. Meaning, this is not something that our society is used to serving. Our society is not used to people serving them selflessly. And when you start serving someone that you have just become acquainted with, you are letting your light shine. Remember, up to this point, you've not invited them to anything. Okay? You've not asked them to study the Bible. You've not invited them to church. It's nothing. You've just become acquainted with them, got to know them, better acquainted. Now you are serving them. If we're doing this sort of thing on a regular and consistent basis, the next stage will become more naturally becoming friends. Okay? In other words, it's an initial person that I never knew. Got them. Better acquainted. Serving them. Now we're becoming friends. Now we're developing common interests. Okay? Where we can hang out and do stuff together. Now we need to deepen the relationship. In other words, where we're able to talk about stuff that are deeper. Able to talk about our marriages. Able to talk about some challenges that we ourselves might be facing. But we're connecting. We are trusting. Ease and communication is developing because we're becoming better friends. Have good and memorable times together. That's what friends do, isn't it? I remember things that I've done with disciples years ago. Running the 9.5 marathon. Done that twice with different brothers and sisters. I've only done it twice in the last 8 years. I remember those times very clearly. Because it builds memories, doesn't it? That's what we need to do with non-Christians, is be able to become better friends and actually build memories with them. The focus at this time is acceptance and not judgment. I think, I don't know about you, but this can be very hard for me. In other words, they come over to your house, they're standing in a driveway, suddenly they light up a cigarette. It's like, so you know what to do with that. It's like, man, it's like the devil right here. It just sounds like, it feels like there's something really weird. Now, and you become uneasy, okay? And that's the spirit of judgment. What there should be up to this time, because remember, up to this time, you have not invited them to church, you have not asked them to Bible talk, you have not asked them to study the Bible, you're just becoming friends. No judgment, acceptance. Okay? Now, up to this point, as I said, you've made no effort to discuss religion, you've not hidden it, you've not been hiding it, but no effort to discuss it. But very important steps have been taken. One, you've become a friend. You've served them, and hopefully that is been something that they've never seen before in others' lives. And by your friendliness and your service, you are prayerfully preparing their hearts, the soil, for the next step. So let's just quickly go through it again. Building bridges, what do I do? One is I make initial contact, I get to be where the people are. Two, I become a better acquaintance with the person. Three, I serve the person. Four, we become better friends. There's more trust. We are more connected. We are now called friends. The person will actually consider me a friend. What's the next step? Phase two, planting the seed. So now we're already friends. Now, some of us might be incredibly good with this, and you can achieve all of this in 1 week. Others, this might take 6 months to get to this point, or it might take 2 weeks or 3 weeks. It doesn't have to be very long. It doesn't have to be very short. You need to pray that God will give you wisdom as to how to take these steps. But now, when you've become better friends, you need to plant the seed. How do you do that? Dropping clues by identifying yourself. Let me give examples. You've now become better friends, so what do? You talk about something as basic as kid zone. It's just in conversation. Hey, man, I was so excited by my kids yesterday. They came from the children's ministry at our church at Kid Zone. And, man, I was just so fascinated about what they learned. And you move on. You're not trying to convert them. You're simply dropping a clue. Okay? Youth programs about your teens. Devotionals. I often do this as I talk to parents. As I talk about encouraging things that I'm learning about my children and the family devotionals that we do. I say, hey, what we were doing, I was so encouraged by my kids yesterday, or was so sweet as we were doing this family devotional. And they're like, what's a family devotional? I know what happens is every week or every other week we do this little Bible story and enact it and build fun activities into it. And the kids learn, oh, is that so? Yes, that's not. But anyway, I'm going to tell you what we learned here. But you're dropping a clue. Talking about marriage seminars, parenting seminars, dating workshops. I remember sisters telling me what they would do is they would actually share on a Monday about the great date that they were on the Saturday with a brother. Now, brothers, this is up to you whether they can tell that story. But I remember one sister telling me how she invited a friend from work to church because this person was so impressed that she could have a great date every Saturday and it was with another person every time and there was not a romantic interest. It was friendship. He says, wow, I've got to come and see what this is all about. You can drop a clue about involvement in Bible study. Anything, any kind of clue that, again, through which you identify yourself. So people say to me, sometimes I do this earlier in the game, but someone will say, well, I'm from Brockenfeld. And I'll say, hey, a friend of mine in church, Johnny Lowe, also lives in Brockenfeld. From church. Did I mention that part? Johnny from church. Well, I live in Paro. I go to church in Paro. Well, I work at the airport. Well, I drive past my church in Paro to the airport. Oh, wow, what a nice watch you have. A friend of mine at church has that same watch. Okay? any connection, any kind of clue. Something that you learned at a Bible study, at a Bible talk. Man, I was at this Bible discussion yesterday and I learned this about myself. I learned this about my marriage. I learned this about my children. You're simply dropping clues. Talking about the benefits of being a Christian. I would often tell people that, man, and this is just a fact, that I would have a very problematic marriage today if Lisa and I weren't Christians. I'm actually very doubtful whether we would still be married if we weren't Christians. Because if it wasn't for people in our lives helping us and teaching us the standard of God and what a godly marriage should be like, we simply just cannot do it. I can't do it. I'm not that kind of person by nature. I need God. I need the Bible. I need God's people to be able to help me. Now, you can put that in words that would be more relatable, but the point is, talk about it. Dropping clues. When you drop clues, don't try and say everything at one time. All that you're doing is you're dropping a clue. Again, you're not trying to convert them. All you're trying to do is dropping a clue. Ask questions, or if they ask questions, listen. Don't defend. Don't try and fight for your doctrine. Okay, I had a guy come out of church, come to church, to our home. We invited them, people we're building a friendship with, invited them over for lunch. They came over, and obviously, inevitably, what comes up in conversation is that I'm a church minister. And so he says to me again, which church are you a minister of again? And I said, no, the Cape Town Church of Christ. He said, oh, the Boston Movement. Now, any of us that are older Christians knows that that's usually not a good sign. This is not Boston as in next door. This is Boston, United States. And I said, oh, no, that's us, the Boston Movement. And I said, well, okay. I said, were you guys, aren't you guys, are you the guys, you most probably not the guys that were so radical at UCT 20 years ago. And I said, no, that's us too. He asked some more questions, and he said, well, it's fascinating. I've known you for some time now, and I don't experience you like that at all. Okay? You seem to be a very nice guy, and we actually like hanging out with you guys. Okay? So it's, again, it's just listening. It's not jumping to conclusions. It's not, hey, let me go on to the defense. As you share and as you drop the clue, seek wisdom from God through prayer. And you can do it even in the moment. I think many of us know the story in Nehemiah chapter 2 when Nehemiah goes up to the king and he wants to basically tell him that he wants to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall. And then the king asks him, what do you want? And says, as the king asks him in Nehemiah chapter 2, what do you want? He said, I prayed to my God and then I said. I prayed to my God and then I said. So he prayed, God, oh, please help me. What should I say here? What would be the favorable words? And so as you're trying to drop a clue, again, pray to your God. Pray to God and say, Father, please help me say the right thing here. Something that can help. At this point, again, I emphasize you are not trying to convert them. You're simply communicating that you have faith. Communicating that you have a relationship with God. What's next? Introduce them to your smaller community. My prayer, said Jesus in John 17, is not for them alone. I also pray for those who will believe in me through the message that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so the world may believe that sent me. Jesus prayed 2,000 years ago for you and me, saying that our fellowship and our unity and us being here together and the community of disciples should be a message to people that Jesus is alive. In John 13, a new command, you love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It says, when you love one another, people will see that you're my disciples. They will sense that something is different. So one, you've dropped a clue. Two is introduce them to a smaller community. Remember Acts 4:13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. They looked at these guys and they saw that there was something different about them. Okay? What does this mean for us? In short, include people in what you do. In other words, remember, we've built a relationship. Can you guys remember the steps? Step number one was building a bridge. Initial contact, you are where people are. Okay? Number two, become better acquainted. Number three, serve them. Number four, become better friends. Okay? That's phase one. Now we're friends. We're building a bridge. We're friends now. Okay? What do I do next? I drop clues. Okay. So clues about my faith, clues about my Christianity, clues about what I believe. Next step is introduce them to a smaller community. Meaning what we'll do is, and we're having one of these soon again, is we'll invite someone over for dinner, but then we invite another couple that are disciples as well. So that they can, the smaller community, maybe two couples, but a smaller community. Again, I want to introduce them to disciples. I want them to see that what they're going to experience here tonight is going to be different than with their other friends. Now, a little side note there is to make sure that you are different when you come to my house. Okay? It's not going to be helpful if I invite my friends over with four other disciples and these four other disciples just talk to one another. Okay? They need to see that these guys are different. And what is different about disciples? That they live for others and not for themselves. Meaning, they're interested in people. They ask questions, sincere questions. They pay compliments and build people up. It's not unwholesome talk, but only what's upbuilding. And people see, wow, that's different. They see that in the small community. So now I've had them over for dinner. They've met James and Maura. They've maybe met Peter and Libre. They've met Mfunda and Fesi or whoever. They've met them. Now the community is growing. Now what you'll find usually naturally is people start asking, like, how do you guys know one another? I think Jane was sharing with us about a couple that they had out to a Bible talk dinner or something. But it was just a dinner. And then the couple asked, how do you guys know one another? And I said, we all go to the same Bible discussion. I said, well, can we become a part of that? Can we come to that? Because they saw community, a new community of people that are in this world but not of this world. They saw something like that and said, we are more interested in something like that. Okay, so connect them with the small community. Three, only now, invite them to the bigger community. Church. Bible talk. Can you see the steps? How it's evolving. I'm dropping a seed, I'm dropping a clue. I'm connecting the friends to other Christian friends. I'm inviting them to the bigger community. What I've learned from that, when I do that, and we've done that historically with couples, when they come to church, they don't feel disconnected because they already then know Peter and Libre, because they've been over for dinner. And I'm going to be calling Peter and Libre, saying to them that this couple is coming over to church tomorrow. Please make sure that you connect with them. So there's already a sense of safety. Now they see the bigger community, whether that be a Bible talk, whether that would be our worship service. Now they're seeing more of church. Now again, we are taking it slowly, right? And remember, I'm teaching a tool in a toolbox. A tool, not the tool, a tool in the toolbox. Here's mistakes that I've made. I have built a friendship with someone. Different mistakes we made in it. I made in it. One is the interactions were too short. Too far between, I mean. So now we connected with them, and then it was 2-3 months we connected with them, 2-3 months we connected with them. But we've been doing that for 5 years. So over a period of 5 years, eventually, lo and behold, they come to church. I'm obviously over the moon, okay? So it feels like you won the lotto. I don't know if you guys feel, but it's sort of just like, wah! I can't believe it. They had to leave soon afterwards. Then I heard nothing from them again. We had breakfast, what have you, heard nothing from them again. And lo and behold, one day I sit here and without inviting them, they step in through that door. I almost fell on my back. Okay? This is like 3 months later. I'm like, the sign from the Lord. So after church, I immediately say, would you guys not be interested in studying the Bible? And I've not seen them since. Now, we're still trying to connect. We're not giving up. But considering that I've been working on this for 5 years, I was maybe a little bit too quick on the draw there. Again, you need to gauge it. If I invited you in Sportsman's Warehouse and you came out of church, you seem very open-hearted. Okay? And if you're that open-hearted, I might just as well ask you to study the Bible after church. Does that make sense? But if I've been building this friendship with you now for some time, then I might say, let me hold off. Let me try and see if you can come to church 2-3 times. Because you're just getting to know the feel. You're just getting to know the vibe. You're just sensing what's happening here. Okay? So we're connected. Then ask them to study the Bible. Okay, a little bit different than the first option, eh? So first option is, I meet you somewhere. Hey, would you be interested in studying the Bible? No. Oh, you're not open. Okay. And what about you? Would you be interested in studying the Bible? No. Another unopened person. Okay. And what about you? Now, again, I'm not saying that that doesn't work. Half of the church became Christians that way. That is a tool in the toolbox. And please do not read into what I'm saying here that you shouldn't do it. What I'm saying is that is a tool in the toolbox, and the kind of people that tends to become Christians through that was seeking God. We're looking for people also that are not currently even aware that they should be seeking God. And what helps them is friendship. Because when I first became a Christian, I was baptized on the 15th of January, 1993. We had a Valentine's service on the 14th of February that year. It fell on a Sunday. I had 14 friends out to that service. I remember this clearly, 18 years ago. I had 14 friends out to that service. But listen to what I'm saying. I had 14 friends out to that service. How did I get them there? Very simply, I picked up the phone and I said, come to church. We were friends. We grew up together. It was simple. Come to church with me. No. Why not? Well, I'm busy. Get unbusy. Well, come on, man, just be there. Okay. My best friend, when I asked him to study the Bible, I did it this way. I called him. I said, dude, someone just did a Bible study with me. It was radical. Radical. You're not in trouble. Come over here and I'm going to tell you how it works. Bring your Bible. So he comes over and I said, man, these guys just did a Bible study with me. It's called the Word of God. Man, it is intense stuff. Okay? Let me quickly show you how it works. And I do the Bible study with them. Okay? I did it like the day before, what have you. He said, wow, this is radical. This is radical stuff. I said, absolutely, it's radical stuff. So we need to now do something about this. Why was it that easy for me and so easy for him? Because we were friends. Okay? What I want to encourage us to do, church, is that we make friends. And then we do it intentionally. We do it with a plan. And we follow it. In other words, number one, can we remember? Initial contact. Get yourself to be where the people are. You're in Mug and Bean. You're in the gym. What have you. While you're there, you are smiling. You're ready. You're mission-minded. You're looking for opportunity. You take the initiative. You get to meet someone. You uphold them. You get their contact. Number two, you become better acquainted. Find common ground. Get to meet them. They still think, wow, this is a strange person, but let's get to meet them. Let's give them a shot. Number three, you serve them. Like, man, I've never seen something like this. This dude washed my car. Okay. Whatever it is, serve them. Number four, becoming better friends. Wherever you go, take them along. You guys are now becoming friends. You are building the bridge. Okay. Someone that was a stranger is now becoming a friend. When they're a friend, we go into phase two. Phase two is first step, drop a clue. Plant a seed. You're not trying to convert them. You're just merely trying to show them something. Okay, maybe let's see if this is on here. Maybe it can help you. There we go. Makes it easier for you. Okay. You try. Okay, let's do that. Okay, now let's do that. Okay. So you drop a clue. It's just you talk about kids' zone. You talk about your life. You talk about something that you're learning. You talk about church somewhere or another. Then next step, smaller community. Connect them with other disciples. Next step, bigger community. Let them start coming to the bigger community on a consistent basis. Next step, ask them to study the Bible. And only then do we open up the Bible and we say, wow, this is the Bible. Okay? Today we're going to do a Bible study on what the Bible teaches on the Word of God. Relational evangelism. That's the mission, friends. That's the hard one, isn't it? In all honesty, it's easy to just walk up to someone and say, would you come to church? No. Would you come to church? No. Would you come to church? No. I've done my bits. But it's a whole different ball game to be able to invest ourselves, lay down our lives, serve people, regularly contact them, knowing full well that there's a huge chance that they will not even make it. But that's the same chance that Jesus took on us, saying, listen, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to live for you, even though I know there's a big chance that you will not make it and that you will not respond to it. If this has helped you, if you want the notes, you can download it from our website. I've actually forgot to put the website number on there or the website address. The website address is members, no www, members.ctcoc.co.za. You have to be a member of the church to be able to enter the website. You log on, the church office takes, are you on the roll, are you not, are you on the roll, are you not. You're on the roll, okay. They allow you into the website and you'll be able to download this. Is this downloadable already? Okay, tomorrow morning. This will be downloadable tomorrow morning, all these points. But I do want to encourage us, let's make friends. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, I do pray that we will be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. I pray, Father, that we'll put a lot more prayer into becoming friends with people. And I do pray that you will make it clear to us, even the distinguishing factor, whether someone is actually a seeker, and whether there's a contact or someone that we meet that is just eager and we just reach out to them, or whether it's someone that's going to need more time and it's going to need more friendship. I pray, Father, that you help us to distinguish that and that you'll lead us and teach us through your Spirit as we go on this journey. But I pray, Father, lead us and help us to become what your Son is. Help us to be mission-minded. Help us to have a heart that looks at people and see that these are your people. These are people that you so badly want to have reconciled to you. And often, Father, our hearts disappear. I'm sure a number of us, for even in here tonight, are either we feel like we've lost faith in this, or we feel discouraged, or we feel hopeless, or we feel like we cannot do it. I pray if anyone is feeling that tonight, I pray that you speak to them directly, that you'll lift them up and help them to see that they can make a difference as we become friends, as Jesus did, and help people. Father, we love you. We praise in your Son's name. Amen.